Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Welcome to this bonus episode of Sound Opinions. I'm Jim DeRogatis. My co-host is Greg Kot. And Greg, we are super excited today to announce a new scholarship prize joining the Sound Opinions Writing Prize. This is the first year for the Sound Opinions Music Prize. This is a donation from our friends at the Goldschmidt Foundation that's going to go to these three students towards their next year's tuition at Columbia College Chicago. I haven't met any of these students. They weren't in my classes. Gary Yerkins, my colleague over in the music department at Columbia, along with some of the adjuncts, you may have heard of other people who teach songwriting at Columbia, Mr. Rick Rizzo.
Yeah,
and
heard of him.
And our blues friend, Nick Tremulous, also teaches songwriting. So they chose worthy contenders. You and I chose the finalists. This music blew us away. We are going to be talking, I think, one by one. Let's introduce the winners of the first Sound Opinions Music Prize one by one.
Well, you know, I'm just really pleased to have all of you here. I'm always holding my breath when people ask me to evaluate music, and thankfully I didn't have to compromise my instincts. You know, I'm going to call it if I don't like it. And I was really pleased with everything I heard. I thought we have three singular people here, so I appreciate you going to this length to make this music. So we're here with Spencer Ball. Welcome, Spencer.
Hi, thank you.
We are here with Ultra. How are you, Ultra?
Doing great.
Performs as Ultraviolet Archer.
That's right. And we have Belmaris here with us as well. Welcome.
Hello.
Journey of the Unknown, great track, blown away by it. Tell us a little bit about how you made it.
So I was assigned through Gary Yerkins. We had a project to do. And coincidentally, at the same time, I had another song due for my fusion ensemble to create an original song at the same time. So I guess I wanted to write something that was really close to me. I'm very spiritual. So I wanted to talk about continuing motivation and continuing optimism. So I wanted to speak a little bit about that and also incorporate the things I've learned in both of these courses. The project for songwriting was to do like a rhyme scheme, which I'm pretty used to. And then for fusion, it was kind of just to do whatever I really wanted to do with that. And I thought it would be nice to incorporate some things I've learned in a fusion ensemble through Billboard, which is like rhythm displacement, odd meter, things like that. And so I kind of just had a lot of fun just writing the song.
What I really liked is the way you're using your voice. You know, it reminded me of scat singing, but it wasn't precisely that, but the rhythmic approach to the vocals, the vocal being a percussion instrument, essentially, which I thought was fantastic. And then you break into that sort of jazzy refrain, and it's just like the vocals were, I thought, very sophisticated in terms of just, you know, you have obviously been listening to some really cool artists. I mean, beyond the sort of, do you have a background in studying jazz or playing jazz?
So I do have a background with vocal music, so really just a middle and high school, a lot of musical theater, a lot of choral classical pieces. Jazz is very much new for me. I didn't start studying jazz intensely until this year with the fusion ensemble. I did a couple of jazz songs within a choir, but it wasn't really like a super focus on jazz. So that's pretty new for me.
And you're originally from New Jersey. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Okay. You know, I'm going to scold. professor is going to, you're not my students, but I'm going to scold all three of you, right? Because your presence on the web, all three of you, is sketchy at best. You guys are enormously talented. You want people to find you. You know, suppose like Taylor, here's your track on Sound Opinions. Taylor Swift, of course, listens to our show, Greg, and like wants to tap you to open at Madison Square Garden. You know, the devil of a time I had finding a non-Columbia email address or a TikTok or a website. You guys got to up your web presence, all right? That's loving advice, because the critic, the writer, the journalist may want to find you.
I agree, but you're right.
All right, okay. You can take my class and I'll tell you how to do that. So from New Jersey, how'd you wind up in Chicago and making this music? I mean, you know, you're collaborating with some really talented people, a guitarist, a keyboardist, a bassist on this track, Bel Morris. And I mean, the ensemble's great. You are leading them with confidence and it's just incredible. How'd you wind up in Chicago? And are you going to stay here or what do you hope to do?
I'm originally from Jersey, but I started off my college career in a state school, originally doing a social justice kind of major, a lot of social work at that time. But I always knew that my passion was music, and it has been since I was very young. And this was around the pandemic, so I kind of took a semester off, kind of think about what I wanted to do, and then I knew I just like, you have to go do music. You have to. So I ended up transferring to Columbia, and I heard of Columbia College while I was in high school. And I was kind of looking through different schools to kind of go to. And I heard a lot of great reviews from current students at Columbia. And I wanted to focus on something that wasn't classical music, since I've done that a lot throughout my high school career, something more contemporary. So I chose Columbia College, even though it was very far from where I'm originally from, but I thought it would be a good experience. And I'm really glad I did, because I created a lot of great music here and a lot of great friends, some of those that you hear on this exact song.
Well, that's what Columbia is great for, finding your creative posse, they used to call it, you know, that kind of networking. Let's hear Journey of the Unknown, or J-O-U, as you call it, I think, at one point.
Journey into the unknown, no city path to see. My mind has emotion, burning holes in the soles of my feet. If expression is limitless, why try to confine what you can't define? When it's too much, put the weight down, weight down. When it's too much, put the weight down, weight down. When it's too much, put the weight down, weight that down. Too much, put the weight that down. Weight down, weight that down. Yeah, down. I am free. I am free. Unconditionally.
All right, Journey of the Unknown by Bel Morris. What a killer song, Greg. Let's move on to Ultraviolet, Archer. I was blown away. And Ultraviolet, you get a B+, because you had more info that you sent in, which was useful. You're from Chicago, but you were studying for a while at Oberlin, and then you did time at school in Sweden before coming home. I mean, tell us about your journey.
Yeah, it's been quite the journey indeed. Chicago has always been, it's always been my home in my heart, and I did some time away, started college at Oberlin in Ohio pre-pandemic. And then, yeah, I was at the Youth Initiative Program in Sweden, which is based in the principles of community building and land stewardship. Yeah, and then I felt like it was time to come back into a college setting, and it was time to come home. It was just like a clear call to come home. Ended up here in Chicago at Columbia.
I can hear the heartland, and it could change in a second. I can hear like Celtic roots going back. I can hear, you know, that age-old folk tradition, Appalachia. Yeah. Tell us about writing this song.
Yeah, all of that is weaving in there for sure. This song started off with the little introduction vocal line And that one little introduction vocal line kind of grew into what would be like my chordal foundation of the song, but there's no like rhythm guitar or anything. So the chordal foundation is all just vocals. And like you were saying, I'm really inspired by folk singing traditions and wanted to kind of to weave that history. So that's how the song started.
You know, I'm just struck by it because your song and Balmaris' song share a similarity, I think, in terms of some of the lyrics and, you know, the way you're looking at the world. Balmaris' song, we're talking about a fresh start.
Yeah.
And here you're also talking a little bit about, you know, the revolution is now. We can make this happen. You know, I'm tired of waiting
totally.
Around.
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely a manifesto aspect to it. And also, I think it's almost like you're talking to yourself. It's almost like a pep talk.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which we've all needed after this pandemic.
Yeah, I need that.
You know,
absolutely.
God, it's been a tough 3 years. We should remind listeners, Greg, you know, the majority of their late high school education, these winters, starting college, I mean, they couldn't be in the same room with each other, you know? I mean, what an awful way to begin this wonderful community experience.
So I guess my question is, were you writing this at a low point or like a way to sort of get you going again? I'm just speculating. Where was your head at when you were writing these words?
Yeah, you got it. I think music is a huge medicine, and this song was that for me. It was definitely that pep talk to myself and also just to my community at large. Like, we can do this. We can come together. And like the chorus says, sometimes you have to break down to rise back up. You have to kind of dissolve all the parts and then rebuild something better.
Well said. Well said.
I'm with you.
Let's dive in. It Could Change in a Second by Ultraviolet Archer. That is great stuff. It Could Change in a Second, Ultraviolet Archer. We got one more music prize winner, Spencer Ball. Tell us where you came from, what you're doing. You're wearing your Stay Human hat. I love that.
So I'm from originally from North Carolina, and I kind of just wound up in Chicago by chance. I applied to a bunch of schools, and that was the one I was drawn to the most. My mom actually went to Columbia, too, in like the 80s, so... It kind of like that was a big motivator too. And I came here for theater originally and kind of just was feeling really lost in the city. And over the pandemic, I kind of was honest with myself about how much I like songwriting and started to try to take that more seriously. But then I kind of came into Columbia during that period of online school, kind of trying to find my group, which was like definitely really difficult. And I ended up finding, through social media, I kind of found some people that were actually former Columbia students, which is who I made the song with, one of which actually is still enrolled at Columbia. He's a film major, Cooper Gross. But that song was written kind of in a time of me pulling away from the music department. I was kind of like feeling really unsure in myself and in my future. And that this song is definitely kind of I'm kind of writing to myself to try to tell myself just to keep going, and definitely kind of maybe like a really positive depression song. It's kind of like the whole point of it, like reminding myself to just stay happy and stay moving forward, and just like, yeah, it's supposed to just inspire forward motion and trying to get us out of our head circles. So, yeah.
I got to say, Spencer, when I saw the title, I didn't hear any bit of the music yet, but I saw Oh So Sad, Not All Right, and I go, oh boy, okay. This is going to be really mopey.
Well, and, we did an interview a couple of weeks ago with all three members of Boy Genius, right? And when you ask that tag that they keep getting ladled with, "Sad Indie Girl," to hear them go off, but you were dreading that.
I got to say that the intention, the way you played those that guitar, immediately blew away those concerns. That was like the intention behind those, the way you were strumming, and you know when you think about strumming, you think it's kind of delicate and fragile singer-songwriter folky stuff or whatever, and it wasn't that at all. There was an aggression there that I really liked, and then when you brought, I think you play the bass too, right? That's you bringing in the bass line on top of that after a verse, right? That's pretty cool. I love that sort of build that you had on that song.
Thank you so much.
It kind of reminded me of Nirvana Unplugged, that famous session, and as someone who sat with Cobain, whenever he picked up the guitar, it was an affirmation of life. It was a purging, it was catharsis, but it was also like, I'm alive, I'm gonna play, and people ladle that sad, miserable artist because of the way he wound up. They ladle that on him, and no, man, you know, when you saw him with his guitar, it was joy every time he picked it up. I hear that in this song.
He's walking in the sunshine, man. Come on.
Jesus don't want me for a sunbeam.
Yeah, I'm quoting the lyric back. Come on, give me a break. I'm with him. I got it. It ain't mopey at all, man. I loved it.
Here is the tragic situation, I think, for young musicians is just so many doors are closed with the all ages thing just being so rare. I have so many of my students when we do Reviewing the Arts can't even get in, to the Empty Bottle to see what they want to see. It's just like, well, let's hear Oh So Sad, Not All Right.
And I went a little crazy, nearly lost my mind, but I'll keep hopping in the sunshine. Nearly lost all my composure, nearly set myself afire, but I'll keep walking in the daylight. And if my mind it starts exploding, then I'll probably lit the wire, so I'll keep hopping in the sunshine. And it's so, so sad, and it's not alright, but I'll keep walking in the daylight. And it's so, so sad, and it's not alright, but I'll keep walking in the sunshine. And the world is slowly ending, and no one seems to mind, but the grass will grow back greener after we all die. And it's so, so sad.
All right. Oh So Sad, Not All Right by Spencer Ball. Wow, it's great stuff. We do these shows every 8 weeks or 10 weeks, buried treasures, right? And honest to goodness, I think all of these would have been buried treasures that we would have wanted to share with the listeners.
That's what I mean. I'm not cutting any slack just because you're students,
It was like, no, we're critics. We're jerks.
It was good. It was good stuff.
It won't always be this good.
Keep
trust
writing.
Me. There'll be other critics who may. Don't listen to critics. Don't ever. Even if it's positive, negative, do what you're gonna do. In the ideal circumstances, who do you make music for? You make it for someone who's gonna truly listen, and whether they love it or hate it. You just want them to really listen, right? You can't control whether they're gonna love it or hate it, but to give it the respect to think about it. And to formulate how they really feel. That's the most an artist can ever ask for. That's what Greg and I always say. And also not to be gratuitously mean. If it's a negative review, would it be something we'd read to your face?
Right.
Yeah, except for Billy Corgan. You can be gratuitously mean with him.
We want to thank Belmaris Ultra and Spencer for the music, first and foremost. And thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah.
That is it for this bonus episode of Sound Opinions. Thanks to the Goldschmidt Foundation and all our Patreon supporters for making this show possible. Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Leeborn, and our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo. Our social media is wrangled by Katie Cott. Thanks for listening.